This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same, Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Those of you familiar with the Rite One service in the Episcopal Church recognize that prayer that I just recited, the prayer of humble access, written by Thomas Cranmer, who pretty much authored that first book of Common Prayer, that continues as a prayer that we recite in that Rite One liturgy prior to receiving communion. I'd like to recite that whenever we get this gospel story, because we get it in both Matthew and today in Mark's gospel, from the Syrophoenician woman who presents herself before Jesus. This is an important story for us. And above all, I think what I'd like to sort of summarize this reflection with today is, it's okay to change your mind. And sometimes it's crucial that we do. It's okay to change your mind. We're talking today about miracle stories in the gospel, inexplicable events where there is some energy, some supernatural force that makes something happen that is mysterious. There are 41 of these stories in the Gospels. And to paraphrase some words from John Claypool, that the first thing we conclude from all of this is that God is active in history. We hear in Psalm 46 that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. What comforting words those are. That God does have involvement in all lives, in our lives. But that involvement doesn't just take one form. There is one form that God's involvement takes, that God wants to work with us as human beings to make those miracles happen, that God likes to work with us. St. Augustine says, without gods, we humans cannot. Without us, God will not. And perhaps that's a good summary of that collaboration of God's involvement that God wishes us to have for those particular types of miracles that take place. The story of the person in the flood sitting on the roof. We all know the story, I think. God, save me, save me. And then as the person is drowning, God, where were you? Well, I sent you the boat. I sent you the helicopter. There's sometimes things we need to do. Then there are other times that are very difficult for us because God does not solve our problems. There is no miracle of cure that we would want when someone is sick. There can be healing, but not the cure that we would want. And there becomes for us that difficult time of coming to reconciliation with it. And we can conclude with times like that as people of faith that God didn't cause it, but it happened. It just happened. And God now wants to be our present help to help us get through it. We look at St. Paul, and he had that thorn in the flesh that he prayed that God would remove it, but God did not remove it. And what does it become? It becomes that great writing in Paul where he says, really, I can rejoice in this because it continues to make me know that my reliance on everything is on God, not on me. That God continues to be the source of that strength for us. But then there is that third type that we hear about in the gospel today. That God does act miraculously. And those are things in which we can rejoice. Those 41 different stories are pretty amazing. Faith engendering, to say the least, to understand that this Jesus has power over all things, even death. But then we who have not experienced it when we really wanted a miracle might say, well, why not always? And that's something we're going to have to ask God when we get to heaven. It is a mystery. Someone once explained it to me in a way that I thought was helpful, is that if every time we had a problem, we snapped our fingers and God just took care of it, we would pretty much remain at the infantile level in our faith. It really wouldn't be faith anymore. It would be just calling in the fix-it God to take care of everything. And yet, as God wants us to move to the fullness of maturity, not causing these things, but not particularly always acting. And we know that phrase. We pray to God for what we want, and God gives us what we need. Granted, there are things that happen that are awful things to us. God does not cause those. God did not cause this pandemic to punish anyone. God does not cause it when we lose loved ones tragically. But he wants to be there as a present help in time of need. So we come to this gospel today and back to this theme about it's okay to change your mind. This is a significant story in Mark's gospel, because it is the only time where Jesus travels outside of the region of the Jews. He goes to what would be considered Gentile country. He goes to Tyre and Sidon. If you look at an ancient map of where that's located, Jesus would have had to have walked at least 50 miles to get there. 50 miles. Do the math. If you're even walking 2 miles an hour, how long that would take. So there's obviously some intentionality there that Jesus went that far out of his way. And when we combine this with what we know of Jesus in Luke's gospel, we hear it every St. Joseph's Day when we hear the story of Jesus being lost, and they find him in the temple. And that story ends, if you recall, in Luke chapter 2. Jesus increased in wisdom. Do we ever think of Jesus getting wiser as he grew up? It's there in the beginning of Luke chapter 2. We can say that this was just some delightful banter that Jesus was having with this woman about being like a pet and eating the crumbs off the floor. But whatever, more likely what is going on here is that Jesus is increasing in wisdom also. That perhaps Jesus is changing his mind a little bit. That Jesus is realizing that this call to salvation is for everyone, for all types of people. And in so doing, as he says, your faith has made you well. There's three times in the Gospels where Jesus does this. He heals people because of their faith. He does it with the lepers, outsiders. He does it with the centurion's son, again, outsiders. He does it with the hemorrhaging woman, again, an outsider. There's a point here. A point of perhaps needing us to change our minds and understanding at the broadest level that salvation is for all people, especially those that we might consider to be outsiders. I want to pose something to us today. That not only are we called to welcome outsiders, but perhaps we are called to be such ourselves. A friend of ours who has been instrumental in the beginning and the continuing growth and spirituality of the Northumbria community where we visited Lindisfarne, Andy Rain. Andy was really touched with an inspiration that came to him during this pandemic with some of the listening prayer that they had been doing in their group. And Andy knows that I'm sharing a little bit of that today, but the word that came to him was outlier. That because of all that is happening in our world and in our society, perhaps the realization we need to come to is to know that perhaps God is calling us to be outliers. I want to read one of the journal entries that Andy has offered. Now, he writes specifically to the Northumbria community, that dispersed group of Christians around the world. But I think his message, especially in light of today's gospel, is meaningful for all of us. When you follow the crowd, you lose yourself. But when you follow your soul, you will lose the crowd. Eventually, your soul tribe will appear, but do not fear the process of solitude. He writes, there's an interesting word that I was introduced to on May 26, 2021. The word is outlier. It has particularly relevant applications in our situation and careful formulation of vision. On my computer dictionary search, the given example of a sentence with the word outlier included was this: his house was a refuge for outliers. Doesn't that pull together all that we've been saying? God's heart is for radical hospitality, and we together can journey into what we cannot manage as individuals, to be an outlier. Our world has changed. Our church has changed, like it or not. But perhaps it is how God wants to choose to partner with us in a new miracle, that we will continue to refocus ourselves on being outliers and reaching out to the multitude of outliers in our world who are in such need and search for meaning. It's a wonderful holy huddle we have here every Sunday with those who are able to be here or watch online. But the needs of our world for a message of hope and acceptance are greater than they ever have been. Jesus realized that today. May we continue to realize it and know that it's okay to change our minds. When hope and a political agenda fails us, it's okay to change our minds. When belief that certain moral issues are just black and white and that's it, don't confuse me with the facts, and then we find that the issues are really more gray, it's okay to change our minds. When we distrust science because of propaganda, and we find out that propaganda is just that and false, it's okay to change our minds. When we feel like it is inherent that one class of people is more important and higher on the scale than others, and listen to those readings today, it's okay to change our minds. It's okay. And if we are to truly partner with God, it's necessary. Perhaps the most important thing that Jesus says today is ephata. Be opened. Yes, it is in the context of a miracle of restoring sight and hearing. But maybe it is addressed to us that in whatever way God is challenging and encouraging us to change our minds and open our hearts. Amen.